This is episode 6 of Gay Lunch Podcast. We'd like to acknowledge we're on Treaty 1 territory and thank Shoal Lake for our water. My name's Lex Goh, and let's talk derby.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Lex.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So today we have a special guest on, Lex. What's your derby name, your full derby name?
My full derby name is Lex Goh.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yep. And then my government name is Alex Crosney.
Okay.
Less
okay.
exciting.
Welcome. Thanks for coming on. We want to talk about things like about the derby, the pride bout.
And about being a woman, a queer woman, because that's always fun.
Yeah. Well, I can't relate. But
you watch me have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's first start with your smoothie.
Oh, yeah. I made smoothies for us. A banana, some frozen mixed berries, fresh mango, canned pineapple, some unsweetened almond milk, and then in Cam and I's, we had some vanilla protein powder as well.
It was so yummy. I never thought that you had it in you to make a killer smoothie like that.
I have it in me to do everything, yeah. Cam.
I've never put pineapple. I'm on a pineapple kick right now, so I'm down. I like it.
The mango awesome. Is what adds that creaminess that you were talking about.
Oh, that's the mango?
Unfrozen mango.
That would have done it, but...
No, it's pretty viscous.
Fresh mango. Oh my gosh, what a splurge. What a luxurious smoothie this is.
It's fun. Oh, then we had a battle wound.
Oh, no.
Which is appropriate for the derby episode, I think.
No. I think so. A little bit of blood.
Yeah.
Blood
yeah.
in your smoothie.
Whereas me, I like cut myself on the can of the pineapple. I was like, Cam, I need a Band-Aid. It's bleeding a lot.
And I was like, come over here. Let me put some polysporin on for you. Except the first polysporin tube that I had was for eczema.
No. I'm like, don't put that on it.
I don't believe in polysporin because I don't fully understand what it does. So I just avoid it completely.
Truthfully, I honestly don't know what it does either.
Oh, it makes like a shield so like bacteria like can't get in. It like cleans
your
wound.
So it's like fancy Vaseline kind of. I don't think you're not supposed to put Vaseline on cuts though.
No, it's different. It helps. It still breathes. Like the cut can still breathe with polysporin. And also like it can't get infected.
Okay.
Or less likely to get infected.
Okay. Maybe I'm sold. We'll see.
It's a pretty good product.
But I imagine you get cut and, like, bruised and injured quite a bit.
Yes. Most of it bruises more than anything when it gets cut. It's like a spectrum. You get giant bruises and little cuts. All of our pads are held on with Velcro, and you don't notice until after, but it's, like, the next day in the shower or that night in the shower, your skin is just burning because it's, like, Velcro burn all over.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Yeah. We compare the best scratches, but other than that, it's a part
then
of
there's
life.
Me. I'm like, my running band that holds my phone is held together with Velcro. Got a couple rashes from that. I feel like your injuries are all up here. Mine's just like...
And I can't even remember the last time I got injured because I'm too
scared you don't do anything.
Go out in the world with humanity and get hurt because it's just... And when I think about derby, like my sister's in derby. Well, she wasn't derby until she got brutally injured.
Oh, I was going to say her example is maybe not the best. She did have a pretty bad injury.
It was like, it's too much for me. I could never. So when I see derby girls, I'm like, rock on, guys.
It's so cool to watch.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there are people, like I've been playing for 6 years now, and I've had a variety of minor injuries. Like I've had just fixing an ankle sprain on one ankle. I've had one on the other. Knee injuries people get a lot at the beginning. And I mean, bruises, bumps and bruises, but nothing super serious. But then there's some people who break ankles right away. Like your sister was had not been playing for very long. And sometimes that's just how it goes, unfortunately.
But some of those falls, like you fall backwards.
Yeah.
Because you go in all the same direction and try to get the jammer through, right?
So the way it's basically the way I've been describing it now is it's kind of like rugby, except everyone's running in the same direction instead of at each other. And you're not trying to move a ball forward. You're moving a specific person forward. So each team has a jammer and they're kind of the human ball/point scorer. And your goal is to get them through. Both teams are on the track going in the same direction to get them through your opponent's pack. And then they score a point for every opponent skater that they pass. So I think that's why it gets so aggressive is because the only way it's not like you can throw a person or shoot a person on a stick. The only way they're getting through is literally by getting through four people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and when we talk about two people all the time are concerned about injury. But I think our rate of injury isn't that much higher than a lot of other contact sports. For some reason, and my go-to for a long time is whenever people ask me, I'd go to the doctor with a knee injury, like, ooh, that's an aggressive sport. And I'd say, what about hockey players? When hockey players, like, what about guys who are playing hockey? When they come in, do you tell them to stop playing? No, don't tell me. Now I have good doctors and good physiotherapists, so they don't do that anymore.
That's good. And that brings up a whole issue that we were kind of talking about, being a woman playing sports, being a woman in the world, being a woman.
Yep. Love that topic. Damn.
One of today's topics. I played rugby for some years, and my doctor would also always tell me to stop. Okay, granted, then I got 4 concussions, only one of which was from rugby. Then I had to stop.
Oh, I'm kind of living that life.
But like before that, she would always be like, oh, like, are you still playing? You should stop playing, blah, blah, blah. Are you sure about this? And I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's not like these things are going to, like, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't know. We have a good, because we're a really supportive league, like our injuries, we've kind of built our own support staff. So like there's a league physiotherapist who is not officially our physiotherapist, but everybody goes to her now because she is also like a female athlete and really understands what we're doing and isn't, her solution isn't, you know, maybe you should stop playing. That's how we're going to fix your injury. It's like, okay, actually you have a tournament. Actually doing her job. Yeah, you have a tournament in 3 weeks. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Like,
yeah.
Ideally, we'd want 2 months. You don't have 2 months. That's fine. Here's 3 weeks. Here's what we're going to do to build. That's like, awesome. It's a good forward-thinking athletic.
Like what any male physiotherapist would do with a male athlete.
Yeah, and I think that's what I missed from that. Like, I played other sports. I played rugby for only for 2 years in high school, and it was awesome, and it was really great. But I think I missed that. Like, a lot of other sports, especially traditional women's sports, are not contact sports. And I'm sure some of that comes from, you know, women's bodies are not made for contact.
Yeah.
So I'm doing air quotes. So it's hard to see that. They are just as made for contact as anyone else's body. But, yeah, those traditional sports that women are funneled towards are usually not contact sports. And where it's, you know, if you're in high school and you're a male athlete, it's football. And there was no, my school had a rugby team for women, but that was in my last year of high school. And I mean, roller derby is one of those few sports that is like a women's first sport. Mm-hmm. It was driven, this wave that's probably about 11 years old now of modern derby was led first by women. And there are men's derby teams and there are co-ed derby teams, but it's one of those first sports where it's like a sport driven by women, where women play contact sports because that's the way it is, not because you're trying to, you know, merge into something that's usually male dominated.
And it still is super, super women dominated.
Oh yeah, for sure.
To this day, like, I probably, again, it's like, I don't really like male comedians. I probably wouldn't watch men play roller derby. Like, it's just,
there's a different style one to it of those for sure. Things. Yeah. Yeah. We've seen a couple teams. Fargo has a men's team. I think they're the closest one to us. There aren't a lot of Canadian teams and they play, it's a different sport. It's a lot of one-on-one sort of like, it's different to watch. The strategy's different. And I think, I mean, I don't want to specify anything. I don't think there's any innate way that men or women play sports. But I think watching women's teams, it's more cooperative. It's a different, it's less of a, like, look at me, show highlights, real game, than like, okay, we're working together because it's a team sport and that's what you do.
Yeah, I totally get that. I find that with roller derby, it's more, I don't know if it's a woman thing, but it's very supportive. Like, you could have a girl on a street and she's like, she meets up another girl and she's like, I play derby too. Oh, you're with the Valkyries? I'm with the Bettys.
Yeah.
Oh, good job. High five. I'm like, but aren't you supposed to be against each other, you know? Like,
and it's really awesome. I think we get that. I mean, everyone within our league practices together. So all of us, we're all, and a lot of our teams, we have 3 house teams. They're our interleague teams. So those are the Valkyries Wrath, the Backseat Bettys, and the Corporation. We play each other throughout the year. And then we also have 2 travel teams. So the Winnipeg All-Stars and the Bombshell Brawlers is our B team. And they're made up of players of all 3 of those home teams. So I think, I mean, we have the benefit of we play with and against each other. So that helps build it. But I do really think it's, derby was based on a feeling of inclusivity, you know? And I think it comes from, like, having found a sport that it's a space that you don't get to occupy in a lot of other ways. Like, I'm an athletic woman playing a contact sport. Does that sound like something you'd be into? Well, there's not a lot of opportunities for that. So here, come do this cool thing with me. Mm-hmm. And when we go play other teams, it's that same spirit of camaraderie, you know? Like, we'll play other people and literally try to bash their bodies into the ground. Legally, there are strict rules for contact. Yeah. But we do that for 60 minutes. And then, you know, like, I've high-fived people on the other team between a jam. They'll, like, hit me out of the air, sprawling on the ground, and they'll help you up off the track. Like, great job, really good hit. Or like, oh, you almost got me. But it's a really good spirit of community that I haven't had in any other sport that I've played.
For sure. Yeah. There's okay, is it? I don't know how to word this question.
I feel like I have a really good question, but I'm really excited for your really stupid question.
My question is, do you find that there's less ego in derby?
Ooh, that's a hard one to answer, I think. I think yes. I think like any sport, and now, I mean, it's been around long enough that there are like top tier teams. Everyone in Derby everywhere is not paid. There's no league that pays their skaters anywhere. But there are teams that have kind of established themselves as the top of the sport. And there's a national competition every year and a World Cup every 2 or 3 years that they're kind of still shaking it out. But those top level teams, I think, I've volunteered at tournaments in the past, and there are some of them that have developed a reputation for having a bit of an ego, which kind of sucks, right? But the same thing is, like, and then, so one of the things I think is really cool, we went to the last year's championships, or 2 years ago, I can't remember, were in Minnesota, and then they do a scrimmage. So there's teams who play, and it's, like, Derby fans from all over come and watch, and then on the last day, before, like, the semifinals and finals, they do an open scrimmage. So if you're a fan or a skater on one of the top 10 teams that's been eliminated, you can just come and skate together, and they do a game in the morning.
That's fun.
Yeah, so that kind of thing is really cool, and there's a lot of, I think, like, willingness to teach everybody. We know that, like, a high tide rises all boats, right? So you want to make everyone better so that the sport can be better, and you can be better, and the community can be better, and more people can know about roller derby. That's everyone's ultimate goal. I feel like sometimes we're preaching derby all the time, like on the street to strangers. Oh, roller derby, let me tell you. Sit down. Do you have 15 minutes?
Like the best version of the door like to door. The Mormons and stuff. Exactly. Like stand there. I'm always so tempted because they stand there and they're like, God loves you. I'm like, no, your God doesn't love me. I'm like, it literally says in your little pamphlet that he doesn't like me. I was supposed to kick the stands down just to see what they would do.
We joke about it as like the Church of Derby, spreading the gospel of derby. Here we go. Really inclusive, way more inclusive.
My family preaches it to me all the time, and then I just remind them that I have a lot of brain damage, and it's probably not a good idea. But all the time. So yeah, my good question. That was a... You tried.
Yeah. Like, it was cute. Good. No, I like that. Yeah. And I think everyone in the sport would like to hope that, like, nobody's ever going to be inaccessible, and that is one of the really cool things where, like, you can literally skate with your heroes all the time. Like, take a class with the best people in the world and get a chance to skate with them, which is pretty cool.
Super cool. So speaking to the inclusivity, Derby helped you come out, which is super awesome. What was going on before that that sort of didn't allow you to feel comfortable coming out, and what happened within Derby and starting with that community that kind of got you to that place where you're like, oh, this is actually... cool, I can do this.
Yeah, so I think I was kind of late to the party of figuring out my queerness a little bit. My parents are really great. My family is really progressive. They're forward-thinking. But I grew up in, like, Charleswood, which is, like, the whitest, straightest, well, maybe not the whitest, straightest suburb, but a very white, straight suburb of Winnipeg. So the diversity I was exposed to was not... like an everyday part of my life.
Like, just not.
Know? Yeah. Like, period. My family wouldn't have, like, I knew about Pride and my parents weren't homophobic, but I never would have gone to a Pride parade and we never would have really talked about, like, it was assumed all the time that I was straight because why wouldn't I be straight? Those are the ways the conversations went. So, it probably took me until university to figure my shit out and be like, oh, I see what's going on. I see why I hated dating that boy so much. Even though he was really lovely, I really didn't want anything to do with him because I was not into that whole thing. And then I think Derby was twofold. So I had a professor who was a ref who had free tickets. So he was kind of my first contact. He was very inclusive, like really queer friendly. And that was one of his pitches when he was giving them away, you know, is like the after parties at Geo's. We joke about it all the time that, like, Derby is full of lesbians, which is not actually the case. There's a lot. Our league is a majority straight, definitely. And I think it varies league to league. I feel like the Montreal league is almost entirely queer, but I'm slowly working on everyone in our league.
I like that Cam looked at me for that. Gave me a little eyebrow raise. Like, go to Montreal.
It was a space that was definitely queer positive as soon as I went, you know, and to be like, oh, this is really cool. This is really inclusive. And, you know, our league, well before I was in it, participated in the Pride Parade every year. And so for me, starting Derby was kind of when I did start, kind of like starting a whole new chapter of my life, like from elementary to junior high to high school, Winnipeg is enough of a small city that I knew people all the way through, and even from high school to university, you know, like it was a transition, but I still knew most of the same people. I had a lot of the same friends, especially making that first transition. Derby was kind of the first time that I was starting in a new community, and it really is a community of people where I didn't know anybody. It was a brand new start. It was like a brand new chance to be a new version of myself, which sounds like I was rewriting myself, which it wasn't, but to be a different version of myself, like those other parts of my personality.
Like a true version.
Being able to kind of uncover those parts of me that I hadn't tapped into before. And like I remember really specifically someone in our, when you start, you're called Fresh Meat. So someone in my Fresh Meat group had said we were talking about queer skaters, and they were like, yeah, you know, our league is pretty straight. So like, oh, this person I think has like a partner in this person. And I was like, oh yeah, well, like, I'm queer too. And I remember that was like the first time I had said it out loud to anybody except for my really close friends. And I remember my heart being in my throat, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, but then I was like, these people don't know me. It was nothing to them. Everybody else was
they
just like,
probably
oh yeah,
just
of course.
Didn't give a shit. They're like, oh, okay, so not Lex.
Yeah. Like just exactly. Just like a regular sort of thing. And it wasn't like I think coming out is such a scary thing for some people. And it was in my case for sure, because I felt like I was not necessarily letting people down, but like letting down people's expectations of me. And I think that that's what it was with my parents, was like they had imagined I was a really good, I was like straight A student, really good. I was like the oldest golden child. And I was like, that's not what you imagined my future would be. You know, like you thought I would like meet a nice man, probably marry, have children, do everything that I was supposed to do right. And this was kind of like felt like a sharp turn away from that. But Derby was such a safe space, because I was like, these people have no expectations of me. These people are happy to welcome me however. They just care that I can roller skate, which I'm learning to do at this point. And so it was a safe space to kind of be that part of me. And then this is a long answer to this question.
No, it's okay. We love when people take up time. Okay, good. I'm just glad you went like, yeah, it was good.
And then so through Derby, I also got involved. There's an international queer roller derby collective called the Vagine Regime, which... The Vagine Regime.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Cam, can you get that tattooed on your bald ass
head? They're
pretty
amazing. They're pretty...
Anyone that saw it would be like, that makes no sense.
Be like, shh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Do you want to hear about roller derby?
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
That's your door. That's your foot in the door.
Yeah.
I went to an international derby convention in Vegas and met this group of people and had kind of like heard about the Vagine Regime, and then was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It's like a queer collective.
It sounds really cool.
Yeah. And then the woman who ran it and I became friends after a while, because we kind of worked on a document. Well, she was making a documentary. I was like helping along at this point. Our league ended up donating some money to it. Our first annual Pride Bout actually raised money for that documentary, which was pretty cool. And it got released there. And I had been playing derby for probably 2 years at this point and still wasn't out to my family. Went away to this convention in Vegas, and they had put the first trailer out for this film, like this film we'd worked on. And I remember just watching the trailer and crying, because it was so amazing. I feel like I'm going to cry now talking about it, but I won't. But it was like, the film ended up tracking the story of like a young transgender girl who kind of found derby through the Vagine Regime. It's her true story. She's from, her name is Crystal, and she kind of found derby and it was a home for her, but it also spills out into the story of other skaters who have also like found a space to be in derby, right? And I just remember watching the trailer and thinking like, this is the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. This is an amazing project. This is changing people's lives. Roller derby is changing people's lives, and I'm so proud of it, and all I want to do is tell everyone about it, and I need to share it. And so I actually left the trailer in a note to my parents, which is like the scariest thing I've ever done. And I'm good for them. I'm sure it was a shock. And like left a trailer, was like, here's a cool trailer I worked on. By the way, I'm gay. See ya. And then like left. which they were very like, they were confused, but it took them a little bit of time to kind of be like, what is happening here? But now they're like, they're awesome. They're my biggest fans all the time. And they also love roller derby. So they're going to be there at our Pride Bout for sure. My dad's like, what should we wear? Do we wear rainbows? Is that the right thing for this group?
That's so
funny.
Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the Pride Bout coming up, obviously it means a lot to you.
Yeah.
What's the goal this year?
So this year we're raising money for the Rainbow Resource Center. Our biggest goal of the bout is not necessarily as a fundraiser. It's more just, like I said, when I was in my league originally, we were in my opinion, a surprisingly straight league, because derby is like a pretty queer sport, and we didn't have a ton of queer skaters in our league at the time. We did have, there's a few, and more people have actually come out in their time of skating who were there lurking all along. But
I love that. That's actually really beautiful that it's like, it is a really strong community, and it's such a time commitment. So like, it's so nice that it's something that's such a time commitment is so good for people. And, like, they can enjoy being there. And I was like, oh, fuck, I have to go skate now. It's like, oh, really awesome. I get to hang out with these people who literally don't give a shit about all the weird things about me, because they're also all weird, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And they're people that you see all the time, right? Like, they're, like, I feel those people are my backup for anything. If I need things, like, I would go to that team as quickly as I would go to my family for things that I need, because I see them more often. I love my parents, but I see them for a couple hours every week. I see my derby team like 6 to 8 hours a week, every single week, all the time. Yep. And if we travel, more. But our Pride Boat was actually, I was a fairly new skater and was like, why don't we do anything for Pride? Like, Toronto has a queer boat every year. They used to call it the Clam Slam, but now they call it the U-Haul Brawl to be more inclusive, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's do it. Like, let's do the same thing. And so our league was very generous and was like, okay, you want to do it? You're going to plan it. Here we go. And our league was awesome. Like, I had a team of, I didn't know what I was doing, but a team of skaters who had been there longer than I had were like, this is great. Let's do it. And this is our, this is our fifth year going into it. So,
Did you play every single year? Is
that I have. This is my fifth year playing. Yeah. And
do you want to give a good time and date? Just plug the shit out of the brawl.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So it is this Friday. It's a double header every year. So we have Unicorns versus Rainbows, which is our annual first bout. So this Friday, doors open at 6. The first whistle for the Unicorns versus Rainbow bout is at 6:30. And then our second bout starts at 8. And that is for the Dapper Donnas versus the Khaki Brigade.
Okay.
Love it.
I love derby names.
Yeah, it's pretty. So every year we come up. I think last year we were like denim tuxedos or Canadian tuxedos versus a plaid theme.
Right, right.
I forget what we probably, I think we called it Beaver Fever, but like a lumberjack theme. Half the fun. Oh, no, I think that was 2 years ago. Last year was the Glitterati, which was sequins, which is the most painful material to skate against.
You also just described me and then camera immediately after.
You got it.
So inclusive.
There you go. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, they're really fun. And anyway, like, it's $15. You get both bouts, a licensed event, so come and have some queer beer. We always make sure we get some queer beer for Pride. Our juniors sell rainbow baked goods. We are going to have a live Hungry Hungry Hippo game, which we have been trying to play for so long, and we're finally going to do it, so I'm psyched about that. Yeah.
On skates?
Well, no.
No, okay.
No, it's good. I think we're trying to figure out how we can have, like, we can enable people on skates, but it'll be audience participation based.
Oh.
So, want to be a hungry, hungry hippo? Show up.
Well, he's already there.
Stop. I knew that we were going to go there.
Do we both work this Friday?
Yeah.
That means everyone listening right now has to go for us.
Yeah.
Also, my family's going to be there. So, that's why I cop out of so much derby things. People are like, oh, are you going? I'm like, no, but my family is, but I can't make it.
Yeah, your family is like the first family of derby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're pretty cool. They're pretty fun. I like watching them. It's really weird seeing my much younger cousin play, because I remember being young. She was so small. She was so small for years, and she's really, like, mean it up, I guess, playing derby. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But, we would, like, bully her because she was younger, and we would, like, push her around because she was so weak, and it was super easy. But now she's big, and I'm like, well, you could put up a fight.
Yeah.
Like, you probably won't win, but, like, you put up a nice fight. And I was actually at Fame the other night, because she's getting older, and I always forget how
old,
like,
she actually
I always
is.
Forget that my cousin's age.
Yeah. They're, like, not stuck in the perpetual age that you first really knew them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think for the past, like, while, someone's like, how old is she? I'm like, oh, like 14, 15. And I think about it, I'm like, no, she's turning 18 in, like, less than a year. And I was at Fame the other night, and I just thought to myself, I was like, oh, my God. What if I run into her one night here? I'm like, that's weird. Oh, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's two gay bars in the whole city. One is a lot more bumping than the other. I'm going to see her out, and I'm like, oh, this will have to, we might bond over, like, best kept secrets of the family.
It's going,
like,
to be weird.
It's like, I will pretend none of this happened, and you have to pretend none of this happened. No one saw anything.
No one saw anything. What
happened? No phones, no video, no pictures. We'll both get pictures deleted of ourselves off the Fame Facebook page. It's going to become
a
sisterhood.
Don't post for any photographers. Just run.
just you see the photo coming and you're like, ah, no. Like,
or own it. Be in those pictures and just own it. That's what I would do. Depends. Depends where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavily depends.
But, you know, thinking about derby and thinking about playing sports, I could never. I'm so unathletic. Not athletic. I'm not athletic.
A schlub?
A schlub. I'm a schlub, you know? Like, even playing darts at the carnival, I would throw the dart at the balloon, and then the dart would bounce back at me. And I'm like, ah, no!
One of the cool things about derby, and I mean, it's different now because we have junior derby, but when derby first started, it was a newish sport. I think one of the things, scary things about sport, at least for me, is like, if you didn't play as a kid, it's a hard hobby to pick up as an adult because everybody else is like 15 years on you. Like, I was skating since I was three. And you're like, okay. Well, that's, I'm cool. Not three. So, but derby, when I started, at least, I had never been roller skating in my entire life. Somehow I missed out on all those like skate parties as a kid. I just had literally never put on roller skates and was like, yep, I think I'd like to play this sport. So I like skated around the cul-de-sacs in Charleswood and my brother's like bad roller blades. It was a challenge, but going in, lots of people don't really know how to, nobody knows how to play because it's not a sport you played as a kid. And it's like a 50-50 split of people who are really great skaters versus people who are, have been on roller skates and are now kind of like, okay, let's put this together. So like we train our fresh meet through, it used to be a 6-month program. We've now shortened it. Let's see, it's September, so it'd be October, November, December, bit of January.
So 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months, and it's 2 practices a week now. We've done, like, pressed it all in, and we'll take people from like, very little skating ability to, like, skating ability, here's how you play the game, here's how you execute these skills. So a lot of people who weren't athletic before because they felt like sports wasn't, either they didn't have the experience or they didn't like the vibe of sports, find derby a better match for them because nobody's great at it already. Like, you're going to come in and you're going to learn. And it is so supportive, right? Like, there's a level of competitiveness that is definitely a we're all pulling together in this direction rather than like we're pitting against each other and fighting to be the best person. It's like, we want you to be the best you can be, but we're going to help you get there instead of being like, I'm better than you. Yeah. See you later.
See, whereas like when I support Cam, I'm like, do you boo boo, but I'm not going to pay attention. His blog, he writes a blog. I've never read it.
It's actually, I've gotten good response on my blog. People, I've heard. It's so beautiful, I cried. I'm like, so it's nice.
I've heard people. I've never read it. Yeah. I will never read it.
And I want to talk about it with her, but she never knows what I'm talking about.
He was always like, oh, so on my blog, you haven't read it. I'm like, of course I haven't read it. No, he wants to do a one-man show. And I'm like, do that. I'm not going to go.
Okay.
But like, do it.
No, you just keep talking about it until eventually people are like, what are you talking about? I'm so tired of hearing about
this. A lot of people read the blog. I'm just not one of them.
You can force it on any. Yeah. That's how I feel about derby. It's like, if you want to expose people to this, you keep talking about that blog.
Keep talking about it,
So you've probably already talked to me about the things that are on your blog, though.
That's fair.
Like, verbally. I just don't need to hear it again. Like, I probably already hated what you had to say the first time.
I'm going to follow what Lex says like, and just keep talking about it. And then
I'm so good at turning you out.
To change the topic back to derby, because like derby, it's new. Like it's people have been playing it since 2000. Like it's like not even 20 years old yet. Like
Oh, this version of it is about I think 11 or 12 years.
11 or 12, so younger than I thought. Yeah. Okay. And like we're not in mainstream sports yet.
No. Oh, we're trying. We're trying really hard. So there's some cities like Seattle. You go to I work in tourism, so I always look at other places' tourism sites. Like Seattle lists their derby teams with their like professional sports teams.
I love that
when they list them, and they're awesome. They've been around 10 years. They have they were like the dream team for a while. Minnesota actually sells out huge spaces for their teams all the time.
Go Minnesota.
Texas is really big. Yeah, we love Minnesota. They're pretty good too. Actually, they're one of the top teams, but they've been around forever. Like New York is big. They were the best in the world for quite a long time. Portland, obviously. Obviously. But yeah, like people in Winnipeg, literally all the time. We've been here, for us, it will be our 10th anniversary next year of a league, which is crazy to say.
So that's, you guys are putting on a lot of events for that.
Yeah.
We'll make it out to one of them. Yeah. Let's do that.
People all the time are like, what? We have roller derby? And you're like, oh, I'm trying so hard. But I mean, like, I was at the doctor's office last week and I sold 4 tickets to a stranger in the waiting room because she was talking to her friend about having seen roller derby on Facebook. And I just interrupted their conversation. Was like, oh, roller derby? That's the 26th. I have tickets on my wallet right now. Do you want some? And so people are into it, yeah. but it's, I mean, it's a struggle, right? There's a lot going on in Winnipeg, and our audience isn't a, it's a hard audience to define. We're not a traditional sports audience, but we're also not like an arts audience. Oh, so we're kind of trying to find like, I think Derby appeals to a lot of people when they see it.
Yeah.
But when people don't know what it is, it's kind of hard to be like, this is the thing you should be doing on your Friday night or your Saturday night when there's so much happening in Winnipeg. It's the battle is just getting people into chairs. And when they come, they love it. But it's hard to get people there sometimes.
But it's only getting bigger, right?
It is only getting bigger. Yeah. And our league continues to grow. Like, we're bringing in people all the time. And, you know, everybody talks to their friends. All of my friends know so much more than I'm sure they ever wished they would know about roller derby. But
good. Keep telling them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys have, can you buy the tickets online or do you have to buy it through someone?
We're in the process of revamping our website. So hopefully mid-season they'll be available online. Right now, skaters have them with them all the time. So if you know someone from Derby, great. We also carry them at Bikes and Beyond.
Nice.
And we have a skate shop, a Derby skate shop in the city called Butcher Shop Skates on Provence and St. Boniface. And they carry the tickets as well.
Put some links to those people, even if like you have an email, we can put that on our website if anyone listening wants to grab some tickets because now they're so interested in Derby.
Yeah, absolutely. If, and if you're really stuck, like we have a Facebook page that's pretty active, you can shoot us a Facebook message and most of us are willing to get tickets to you, right?
Okay,
so if
if
that transportation is not doable for you, send us a message and I'll get you tickets somehow.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll put some links up.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll I love that. Links.
Sausage
so
links
easy.
For me.
Oh,
okay, I gotta stop. Okay, so with Derby being a new sport, it's mostly all women. There must have been like tons of hurdles to get through to be recognized as a sport.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, it's something we still struggle with, I think. Like, the sport of roller derby is more athletic than most of the sports that I've seen or played. But I think it, we have some of our own battles against us. Like, I think the past history of derby, everybody above, I would say, like 40, when you say roller derby, is like, oh, skinny Minnie Miller, I remember watching derby where they elbowed everybody. That's what everyone says all the time. You cannot elbow someone. It's illegal. Sometimes it happens accidentally, but we try not to do it. So I think there's, we're battling one against like old generational derby, which was kind of like girls pulling hair and having fake fights sort of thing. So it's got like that wrestling vibe, right? The fake wrestling vibe. So I think that's a little delegitimizing. Number two, derby's always been very much about like owning your body and owning your space. So there are people who play in fishnets. There are people who play, like the shift for more competitive teams is towards more traditional athletic wear. But even like our pride bout's a great example. People go all out on their costume. But I like to say I'm not doing anything less athletic because I'm wearing a shirt made of sequins. Like I'm still going to jump over four people on the track and it's still going to look amazing and it's still going to be like an athletic feat. Doesn't matter what my body looks like. It's what my body does, right? Which is kind of an ethos in derby all the way along. But I think that people have a hard time understanding. And then third, I really do think it's because it's a women's sport and people, you still get like lewd jokes like, oh yeah, I'd love to see like you girls fighting on the track. And I'm like, ew, that's gross. Please stop. I don't want you to come anymore. I retract my offer of tickets.
No, then you fight them.
Yeah. Yeah. But
how sexy was that?
Yeah.
And ambulance is on the way.
Yeah. I hope that's what you wanted to see. No. But, yeah, like we've heard anecdotally, sometimes we have trouble finding space in the city, especially in the winter, because ice goes on pretty much every flat surface. Yeah. Like we practice in a curling club and hockey rinks in the summer.
Yeah.
But we've heard anecdotally that people, for example, don't take us seriously as a sport when we go to rent space because they're like, oh, well, that's just like an over-sexualized sport. That's not a real sport anyways. So, I mean, the best way we can do it is if you come and watch, you know right away that it's a real sport, but we try to skew our marketing to be, you know, like we're athletic, where this is, here's the kind of stuff we're doing for cross training, here's us in the gym, you know, like, and trying to change that narrative to be like, doesn't matter what we're wearing, doesn't matter what the themes of our bouts are, we're actual athletes doing athletic things. And I mean, like, we practice between 6 to 8 hours a week, sometimes more when we're in peak season. Most of us cross train in the gym, like we're devoting huge amounts of time to this. We're not just like messing around, you know?
Yeah. And to add on to that, I was talking to Camera a little bit about it before you came. There was that recent incident with Katy Perry on SNL performing with Migos. And part of her set, well, or part of her show was with drag queens. Now, Migos was saying, oh, they were uncomfortable with the amount. So instead of, because now Katy Perry claims that she's woke, and I've just never really falled for that. Get out. If you
I don't love Katy Perry. That's my...
Yeah, no, me neither. Right. There's so many things.
Remember when Katy Perry was a Christian musician? I do. That was a thing that happened.
I remember. But so instead of fighting for the people that are part of her set and that she's apparently trying to, you know, empower, she took some of them off. Like, she took some of the queens off of her set. And then it just, like, sparks, like, this whole narrative. And, like, Violet Chachki was saying some really important things about it. A lot of people are saying some really important things about it. It's, like, just in history, artists and musicians and people often utilize queer people, no matter where you are on, like, the rainbow or the spectrum, as, like, a means for profit or, like, parading. So these queens are like, oh, look at these queens. They're so cool. But, like, we're going to underpay them and undertreat them. Like, they're not human. And that goes with, like,
look at them, but don't talk to them or listen to what they have to say. That's not what we're asking for.
Yeah, like, they're just not treated as people. Like lesbians and gay people and whoever. And they're just, it's like, oh, look at this token we have. Or, like, look at this. It's cool for my sound. And that's just super, super shitty because it happens so often. So my point is, and the question is, do you guys ever experience anything around that being such, I mean, a very queer supportive sport? Do you have anyone who ever tries to utilize you guys or
I think we've
exploit?
Been, yeah, that's a really good question. I think we've been really lucky because we've always had queer people in voices of leadership within our league. So we're all derby leagues are run for skaters by skaters. So like our board is of, I sit on the board, there's five of us. Ooh, I'm like, how many? There's lots. I answer a million emails from them all the time. There's five of us. But I think, like, we've always been very careful to kind of back up what we're doing. And I think we've never worked with anyone before who's like, we've had people before who were like, yeah, we want to come in and, like, take pictures. I think we had somebody ask to do, like, a pinup calendar or something. And there's nothing wrong with a pinup calendar if you own it. But I'm like, no, we're not going to be props in your pinup calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, when we choose to go to Pride, we were asked a couple years ago to help them launch the theme, but it wasn't like, you know, like that's a queer organization working with us as also queer people.
Yeah.
So I think we've been really lucky in that we're selective in who we choose to work with anyways. Like we're so careful about trying to get the image that we want and the image that we feel accurately represents us out. We're careful to work with people who really do have the best interest of, you know, women in sports. I find that we get attempted to be exploited from the women in sports angle more than the queer people in sports angle.
Okay.
I could see yeah, that. Where we get a lot of like, we want sexy ladies on skates at this event. And we're like, okay, we'll look elsewhere because that's not our thing.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, and I think we try to stay conscious as well with when we do, you know, like this Pride bout, we try to make it more than just an event that takes on to Pride. Like this kind of, we always use it as a point to lead discussions for more inclusivity in our league. Like, for example, we realized, I think 2 years ago at our Pride bout, that we should have a gender neutral washroom. And then we're like, why don't we have that for all of our bouts? Like, obviously we should have that. That's nice. The kind of thing that we should do. Pride is the time every year where we look at our inclusivity policy to make sure Derby is welcome to women or non-binary skaters who identify most closely with women. And that's our league and the Women's Flat Track Derby Association in general. Those are the rules right now. So like that was a policy that we made sure to update coming with Pride. And for example, this year, we heard feedbacks from other derby communities that there were some trans skaters who were uncomfortable with drag queens performing. And I know different people feel differently about drag, which is fine. We've had queens perform in the past, but we took this feedback from another event. There's a lot of connection between derby leagues in Canada. So we recognize that from that league, and we're like, okay, well, let's try something different for an event this year, you know? Like, let's be as opening and as thoughtful with what we do as we can instead of just saying it's a Pride bout and doing the same thing we do for everything else. And let's take the lessons we learned from this and try to make all of our bouts Pride bouts in a way, right? We want to be inclusive to our queer community all the time.
That's incredible, awesome. Actually. Like, hearing you say that, I'm so, like, open-minded. It makes my next question sound kind of dumb, but... Because, like, you obviously... Someone in derby who's like probably like a teacher, a straight woman coming into it is probably having her mind quite opened up quite a bit, you know, especially with all the different mixes. Because you guys have different ages, different races, different genders. Like,
yeah. We definitely do. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's the first. I wish we were more like racially diverse. We're still pretty. We have like pockets of people who kind of invite their friends, and we right. tend to be rather homogenous, which I wish we could do a better job at diversifying. And if anybody has any ideas, like if anybody wants to get involved, and you know, like we're always looking to partner with people in the community. So if you think Derby's a cool thing and you want to get your organization involved, let us know. We always try to have community partners.
Are you guys
when we
involved
can.
With Winnipeg QPOC?
Yeah, yes. And we usually, like, again, Pride was kind of our like, let's reach out to QPOC. They're not right. able to make it this year, but they've had a table with us in the past, mm-hmm. and we try to do things like that. I like to think that we help expand people's horizons. Like, I remember a skater once asked me, like, for some people, I feel kind of like myself as a kid, it was the first time that she had spent any time around openly queer people because it just wasn't in her community, right? And I remember she asked me, like, so, she's like, this is a dumb question, but if you two lesbians got married, somebody doesn't have to wear just one dress, right? Like, you could both wear dresses. And, like, even as she was saying it, she was like, oh, this is a silly question. And yeah. I was like, that's okay. Like, that's yeah. fine. We're a community here. Yeah, if you want to ask me those questions, this is your only exposure to queer people, yeah, let's do it. Like, totally. Yeah. I'm ready to ask that question.
And I feel like it's in a lot more of a respectful, wanting to learn and educate yeah, way than, sure. like, someone being, like, some random person who I don't give two shits about coming up to me and being like, so how do you do it? Like, it's different.
Yeah, oh, for
just,
sure.
Just, like, those are two completely different things. And sometimes questions are silly, but like you said, it is like if that's your yeah. only exposure, that's it's,
we want
it's
to
better
be a
that
safe
you
space.
Know than you like are out there thinking that only one person can wear a dress.
Yeah, exactly. And then but I mean, like, that makes it sound like we're bestowing such knowledge onto people. But we also, because we get such a different cross section of people, like there are tons of people in our league who every time somebody new comes in, they bring something new into our league, which is right. I think why we're so into outreach as well, is yeah. like, come share your knowledge with us, like make us a better group of people, please come in, share what you want to tell us, you know, like make us think about new things.
Yeah, which is so rare for like a group of people. When we have a group of people, they're like let's just stay the way we are and mm-hmm. let's be like as normal as we could possibly stay, mm-hmm. but like we don't want to include anyone else. But that's what I love about derbies.
Yeah, we
like,
want to keep pushing the boundaries, because right, how else do you grow in. Right.
Yeah, my question was going to be based, okay, my sister, when she started Derby, when she was doing the fresh meat thing, she was like, so they teach you how to fall, and they mm-hmm. teach you how to get back up. And I'm a deep thinker. Like, as stupid as I am, I'm a pretty deep thinker. And I'm like, that's actually really incredible that they teach you how to fall, which means you're allowed to fail, mm-hmm. and they'll reach their arm out and raise you back up to be better than you were before.
I've literally never thought about, because like in rugby, if you played, so Lex, you know, yeah. you learn how to fall before you learn how to tackle,
yep.
because it's more dangerous tackling than it is being tackled. I've never thought about it. I'm just like, I don't want to break anything.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
as deep as it's ever gone through yeah. my head. And that's such a fundamental difference between you and I. You're like, wow, that's beautiful. I'm like, yeah, I just don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like the point that I'm trying to make.
No, that's a nice point.
Oh, yeah. And the question I wanted to ask to you is like, what type of like life lessons have you learned from Derby that you bring into your normal everyday life?
Oh, man. I honestly, I found Derby at a formative period of my life, I think. And it, there's a quote from a skater. I'm going to probably mangle it. Her name is Bonnie Destroyer. She's like an old guard, new Derby skater. And she says, people often find Derby at transitional periods in their life. They learn how to break things to build something new. Because
oh, we yeah. both gasped.
We both felt that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it gives you a chance to learn what you can do and to learn that you can fail at things and be better. I always say to our new skaters, like, you know, I've had someone say, oh, I'm sorry, I keep falling. And this is a good conversation. I feel like I'm kind of stuck right now. And this is a good reminder for me to be like, yeah, you're going to fall a lot. But I always say, if you're falling, that's great, because you've hit your max. And now you know where you're at, right? Like, you know you're trying to learn. If you're pushing beyond yeah. those boundaries, you're learning. And I think it's given me courage to do things before. Like, I never, ever thought I would have been able to play this kind of sport. That wasn't really the way I would have imagined myself. And it's shown me that I can imagine myself in any way I want. And I think we see that from a lot of skaters too. You know, they come in because there's some sort of magnetism. Some people see it and they know right away. Like, I went to my first game and I was like, this is amazing. I love this. it's completely impractical for me to play the sport. I don't know how to skate. Let's do it. Like, I'm ready. Yeah. Let's do it. And I think to see people who have been told they're not athletic or who have it so deeply internalized, like, I'm not an athlete. We have a lot of people who are like that, people who are on our all-star team now and are incredible athletes who just found Derby's a space where they could take what other people had said to them, think about it, put it aside, and build something new on top of that.
Yeah.
And I think it applies in a sports way. It applies in a life way. Like, people reimagine their lives, because this isn't, most people don't imagine they're going to join roller derby.
Yeah,
and when they do that, it's a way of surprising yourself. And then people go on to do other things that make them happy and step outside what they would have expected. I think there is magic in that, that comes from the sport, that comes from the community, and that is unique to derby.
It's really incredible.
Yeah.
I really like
I'm
that.
I'm like moved by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Join roller derby, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Their fresh meat program is really inclusive, and they teach you how to teach you how to fall and get back up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how to kick ass.
So
yeah, that too.
We're at 45 minutes, but I do have one last question.
Yeah, that's
okay. A Mackenzie question. What's your derby name? Is it Mac Attack?
No, that's stupid.
Derby names, you have to make sure it's completely unique, right? Like, you have to list.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes and no. So originally, names used to be listed. It was a big online database, and it was a big, you have to earn your name. That's okay. You can choose it now.
Yeah.
But you have to pass fresh meat before we let people use it, for example.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so most of it gets confusing, because eventually you know everyone on the team by two names, depending on if they started before or after you, usually. But yeah, so you before had to choose something completely unique, which was ridiculous now, because derby is on, I mean, dozens and dozens of countries have derby teams and skaters. There's, I wish I had better numbers, but there's hundreds of thousands of people playing roller derby, which obviously becomes challenging. And all those people don't play forever. And so now it's kind of a goodwill gesture to check with at least the leagues around you. We've had times before where people have bumped into people with the same names now. But for the most part, if somebody does have your name and you find it, we still use those old databases.
That's like the second or third time that's happened.
He calls during my interview.
He's just waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
He is.
Yeah, so people check, and now it's a goodwill thing to kind of send an email, be like, hey, I saw your name, I'm going to pick this. Like, don't pick the name of somebody in the team next door that you're going to play. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
What about turning the sound off? I'm just suggestion.
But Let's Go, when I chose it, was entirely unique. I haven't met anyone with that name yet. So, like, or Les Go is the variant I use for Pride Games.
Oh!
Yeah, so I get two names, and I don't think anyone's using either of them. Fingers crossed. So I'm sure if this gets around, they'll be like, there are three Lex Goes in Ontario.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Like, but derby names are always so creative and so much fun. Mine would have been to be with Cameron Kinnereth, because it's KK. I'm like Karen Kraken.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Right? Okay.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Or 24 Carat. Cake?
Oh, yeah. I like that, too.
Yeah. But
I have no idea.
No idea. Okay.
No.
Just reflect on it.
I'm going to need some months to think about that.
As soon as I started thinking, I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to make a list. I got to plan it right away. And some people have them right away. And some people, we have a skater on our team who picked, her name is Sarah, and she picked Sarah Bennett, and she picked Sarah Dactyl, and nobody, everyone,
Dactyl.
Yeah, it's an amazing name, but everyone calls her Benny. Like, it's just been overruled. We're like, okay, Sarah Dactyl, it's Benny. So sometimes it sticks, sometimes it doesn't, but it's fun to pick regardless.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming on. It was such,
thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I feel empowered listening to it. So
great. Well, if you can't make it out to this game, we do have other games over the summer. So check us out on Facebook. I'll comp you some tickets for those games. I'm sure once
we
get them.
We can talk about more things, you know.
All right. I'm down.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. Okay. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks.